You know, it's a curious thing. We can read about in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God Himself lived among mankind, among His own creation. And yet He was rejected by His very creation. In the same chapter, John chapter 1, going back to verse 9, it says, "There was true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. Even among those who at that time claimed to be God's children did not accept the very Messiah that they were looking for and did not accept the very God that they claimed that they worshiped." The question is, how can that be? And there's a number of statements in the Bible that tells us why the Jews did not believe in Jesus. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 26, Jesus says, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Oh, they claimed God, but they never turned themselves over to God. In fact, Peter comments on this in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 6. "For this is contained in the Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a block of offense," a rock of offense. "For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they are also appointed." Because they did not first obey what God taught, they ended up being disbelieving when they met God. See, the idea of belief and obedience is very tightly intertwined. You can't have one without the other. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 3 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 3, and starting with verse 12. It says, "Take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, 'Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me.' For who provoked Him when they said, or when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." Now you notice those two passages, especially the last two verses. They did not enter because of disobedience. They did not enter because they did not believe. There's two sides of the same coin. In chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore let us fear while remains an entering of His rest. Any one of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united in those who heard." It wasn't joined together. Continuing on in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, therefore, since it remains to some to enter it, those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Jumping down to verse 11, it says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest, so that none of you will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Obedience is absolutely necessary for faith. You cannot have faith without obedience. You cannot say you trust God if you won't listen to what God says to do. Ever heard of a person claiming to be a faithful Christian and then notice that their life says totally otherwise? They may not attend church services regularly, or they most likely do things that Christians know are wrong. And yet they claim to believe God while doing the opposite. Without surrendering your will to the will of God, there is no trust. There is no belief. And so what we see is the Jews have put sin, basically, in before God. In John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. One of the reasons they didn't believe in Jesus is because of their own sins. They were not following Christ. They were not following God. And they did not like the fact that Jesus exposed their sins. So God's word did not reside in them. Take a look in John chapter 5, in verse 37. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you. For if you do not believe him whom he sent, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. But it's not only just that they weren't Christ's sheep. They weren't followers of God. They did not believe nor do what God said. Another reason why they didn't believe in Christ was the plain fact they were just plain stubborn. Take a look at Acts 28. Acts 28 in verse 24. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others did not believe. They thought they had it all figured out. They were positive that whatever they were doing had to be right. In fact, take a look at Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, starting with verse 1. I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, to a nation which did not call on my name. I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people, who walk in the way that which is not good, following their own thoughts, a people who continually provoke me to my face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burnt incense in bricks, who sit among graves and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, For I am holier than you, whose are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will even repay into their bosom both their own iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers together, says the Lord, because they have burned incense on the mountains and have scorned me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. They didn't want anyone coming near to them and telling them they were wrong. They thought they perfectly had it right. Well, the whole time God says that you're like smoke in the nose. Totally irritating. Paul talking about his brethren in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is for them to is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. They're righteous in their own hearts. And so they wouldn't measure up to the righteousness of God. They didn't want to subject themselves to what God said. Or back in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. This describes what the Jews were like. They were selfishly ambitious. They put themselves first. And they stubbornly cling to that. There's a statement in Psalms 81. Starting with verse 11 of that psalm. Psalms 81, starting with verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own desires. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel will walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to Him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. These people were so stubborn. God was willing to do whatever it took. Yet these people would not let themselves believe. It wasn't just at the time of Christ. It was also a long time before. It's something that characterized the Jews all through their lives. Zechariah says they basically hardened themselves like stones. Take a look at Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, starting with verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother. And do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But they refuse to pay attention and turn to a stubborn shoulder and stop their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they would not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. God was asking from them to do good things, kind things, just things. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to do it. The scriptures reminds me of a little kid that just doesn't want to hear what his parents say. He closes up his ears and stomps his mouth and says, I'm not listening. That's the way God saw the Jews. Even in the Gospels, when they saw sinners changing, by being exposed to Christ, it did not soften their hearts. Take a look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and starting with verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and says, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterwards he regretted and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. He said, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." People who they saw as sinners, they didn't recognize that they were changing. Meanwhile, they stood unchanged by the teachings of Christ. But another reason why the Jews didn't believe is because they just plain refused to understand. Back in Isaiah, there was a prophecy and a comment about the Jews. Isaiah chapter 44, starting with verse 18. "They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, no, there is knowledge nor understanding to say, 'I burnt half of it in the fire, and also baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat of it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down to a block of wood.' He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver himself, nor say, 'Is there not a lie in my right hand?'" They refuse to think things through. They don't look at things and say, "You know, this is really dumb, what I'm doing." They refuse to see that they were committing idolatry. Paul talks about his brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 21, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For the Jews asked for signs, and the Greeks searched for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Jews foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." This is something you notice when you read through the Gospels. Jesus would do a miracle, and it seemed like almost in the same breath, the Jews turn around and say, "Well, what sign are you going to give us?" I was studying with somebody just last week, and we were going over John chapter 6. He just fed the 5,000. "What sign are you going to do so that we can believe in you?" They wanted more free food in this particular case. This is the way the Jews looked. They didn't think things through. They didn't want to understand even their own senses. In John chapter 20, John chapter 20, starting with verse 30. It's not like signs weren't done in their presence. "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you would have may have life in his name." Instead, the Jews closed their eyes to those very signs. The very ones they demanded, they said they wanted, they refused to see. In John chapter 12, and starting with verse 37. John 12, starting with verse 37. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord have been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart, so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, so I would heal them." They refused to see what was right in front of them. They refused to understand what God was showing them. They didn't recognize what they had. Take a look at Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 27. "For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him." They had their scriptures. It explains plainly who the Christ was. Jesus fulfilled those scriptures. They didn't want Jesus, so they refused to understand what they had. It's much like what Solomon talked about in Proverbs 1. When wisdom comes among men, and men don't want to listen. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof." And if you think that Israel had a monopoly on this, take a look at 2 Thessalonians. There's a warning that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. "For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." People will decide what they want to believe, and if it doesn't match, they won't understand. They delude themselves. They blind themselves. But the Jews didn't believe because God wasn't doing things the way they thought it ought to be done. In Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7 and starting with verse 29, it says, "When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John." John wasn't what they expected. John wasn't doing things by their rules. And he rejected what John did. But in doing so, they rejected God. That passage in John chapter 6 I alluded to earlier. The people having been fed by Christ in John chapter 6 verse 14. It says, "Therefore, when the people saw the signs which he had performed, they said, 'This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world.' So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again into the mountain by himself alone." Notice what it is. The people had decided how they wanted it done. Jesus was offering free food. Great, we're going to make him king. Oh, he doesn't want to announce himself. We'll make him king. We'll force it. Jesus then proceeded to show their ignorance in verse 26 of John chapter 6, as Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. On him, for on him the Father God has set his seal." God has shown, proven, that he is the Christ. They saw one of the signs, the feeding of the 5,000. God set his seal on him. Jesus says, "I'll give you the words of life. Not the free food that you're looking for." He goes on to explain it. The more he explained it, the worse that they got. They did not understand what Jesus was saying. To the point where they left. Verse 66, it says, "As a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." It wasn't the way they wanted it done. And so they left. In another topic area, the Jews had a real strong animosity for the Gentiles. So when God showed his offer of salvation to the Gentiles, the Jews' response to that message was, "Then God's wrong." They refused to see that God was broadly offering salvation to everyone, because they thought it was limited to themselves. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 16. "However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voices have gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, 'I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you.' And Isaiah is very bold and says, 'I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel,' he says, 'all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.'" God's trying to save Israel. But God said, because I offered salvation to the Gentiles, and that's not what they wanted, they refused to accept God. And you can see examples of this. Take a look at Acts chapter 13. This is one example of their stubbornness. Acts 13, starting with verse 43. "Now when the meeting of the synagogue was broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God, of the Lord. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken of by Paul, and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It is necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited devout women of prominence and leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district." Instead of being, they were interested in what Paul said up until it interested the Gentiles and that they were flocking. Then the Jews were jealous. And they refused to listen to what Paul, what they accepted the week before. They refused to listen because now the Gentiles wanted it. There's another example in Acts 17, but we won't take time to read that one. Jesus was not what they expected either. And so they dismissed him as well. Another reason why Jesus was rejected was because some made it very clear that if you accepted Jesus, you would not be a part of the Jews anymore. In John chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. You know, when we do what God says, it will sometimes put us at odds with even our own family. In Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We talk about the fact that Noah and his family were saved. Have you thought about the fact that their cousins, aunts, and uncles that Noah left behind? He condemned the world. Why? Because he did what God said. Not because he was against the world, though he was against what they would stand for. He did what God said, and the rest of the world didn't listen. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Nothing can come between us and God. Not our parents, not our brothers and sisters, not our family, not our friends, not even our own desires. But that's what the Jews allowed to happen. And we got to understand, the reason why we're going through this is not just to pick on the Jews at the time of Christ, but if we understand why they did not believe, we need to understand about ourselves as well. People will not believe the gospel message because they have no desire to submit to God. You'll find that in the world, all around us. People are confident that they are righteous without ever checking God's word. And oh, woe to anyone who dares to upset their boat. People refuse even to look at God's word. They won't want to be bothered by the facts. We're kind of laughing about that yesterday. Kind of sadly laughing. Somebody gave Anthony a rough time at the fair. And when he turned passages for her to look at, she didn't want to see them. She left in a huff. People have their own ideas of what makes a good church. Fellowship halls, daycare centers, kids clubs, social programs. You don't follow what I expect, they leave. They get irate when they're proven wrong. I get lots of emails like that concerning articles on our website. You know, the funny thing is, just like our booth at the fair, we don't go chasing people. It's there and available for them. They came to us and complained. They're upset that anyone has thoughts that contradict their own. And they won't listen to anything that indicates that their family might be wrong, or even that they might have been mistaken themselves in the past. I remember studying with one family, husband and wife, and husband was really, really interested in the gospel. The wife sat there and listened, agreed with everything, up until we got to the point of talking about baptism. And fascinatingly, she said, well, then you mean if I'm not didn't get baptized, then that means I haven't been saved yet? And that was the end of the conversation right there. It wasn't to look at and say, oh, well, there's something I need to do. She said, you tell me I haven't been saved? And that was the end of the conversation. In other words, the very things that caused the Jews not to believe in Jesus are still going on today. People still behave in the same way. So we shouldn't be surprised when we go out and teach that we find the same types of reactions. But we still need to teach because there are people who want to believe. There are people who are willing to listen to the gospel. And we need to reach out to them. But if there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of your brother on your behalf. Again, we offer this opportunity. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song of the selected.